I'm not gonna lie, I think everybody wants to be cool. Like, being cool is just like, it's just cool, bro. Like, there's nothing like it. And I know some of y'all are thinking, Chains, with all due respect, bro, how do you know what it's like to be cool? And my answer to that is just look at me, bro. I fucking don't, okay? But I do know someone who is cool. He's a certified cool guy, and his name is Bob. Now, what makes Bob so cool? Is it the sunglasses? Is it the sexy ass face? No. Tell him the answer, Bob. He doesn't talk. The answer is Bob doesn't talk. And a crucial role in being cool is the element of mystery. Now, it's interesting because if we take a look at Jake over here, Jake doesn't talk either, and, I don't really think Jake's that cool. So that means to be cool, you can't just stop talking. I mean, I remember one time I thought if I threw in some earbuds and stopped talking to motherfuckers, everyone would see me as some cool, mysterious guy in the shadows. And I'm not even gonna lie, I was walking through the halls feeling like Batman. I could even see the people talking about how cool I was. Come to find out, it was more like, does this kid even talk?
Nah, I don't think so.
Yo, what's up with this kid?
I'm pretty sure he's autistic or something.
Cause the truth is, there's a very distinct difference between Bob's silence and Jake's silence. I mean, Jake didn't talk cause he would probably get his ass beat for literally anything that comes out of his mouth. But Bob, on the other hand, doesn't talk cause he doesn't have to talk. Like, watch this. Oh my god, Bob!
I love you, Bob.
Now, just for science reasons, let's just see what happens when I do the same thing, you know? Why not? What's the worst that could happen? Hello? Can I help you?
Oh my god, help, there's this creepy
guy. Damn. At least she didn't.
Get on the ground! Hands behind your back, buddy!
Now, it's important to note that being cool is subjective. Like, for example, some people think I'm cool, you know? Like, in this big-ass world, surely there's someone out there.
No, there isn't. Nobody thinks you're cool.
Okay, well, what I was trying to say is you're gonna find someone cool who I don't find cool, and I'm gonna find someone cool who you don't find cool, and that just leaves us with the question, what is cool? So to answer this question, I need you to think of the coolest dude on the earth, and I'm about to guess, okay? You got it? Yeah, alright, I'm not the fucking Akinator, I'm not about to guess who you're thinking of, but I can guess with 100% accuracy who you're not thinking of, and that's Mark Zuckerberg, okay? How did I know that? Because if you think of Mark Zuckerberg as the coolest guy in the world, you're fucked, alright? Like, there's no helping you, like, click off the video, it's wraps for you, bro. But how could Mark Zuckerberg possibly help us get cooler? I mean, look at the guy, he's practically oozing uncoolness as we speak. But that's important, because if being cool is subjective, we need something objective to look at. And objectively, Zuckerberg gets no bitches. Like, let's just look at the numbers here. I mean, this guy's the CEO of Meta, but he's also the CEO of being a uncool lizard nerd guy. And if there's one thing I've learned in my studies of coolness, it's the art of minding your own goddamn business, okay? Like, let's compare George to Bob, who, let's just say, both aced the math test. Hey, Chains, what'd you get on the test?
Fuck, I got like a 65%.
Oh, that's really good for you. That's good for you, yeah. I actually got 100% plus the bonus question.
Oh, wow, nice, bro.
Billy, what'd you get on the math test?
Math test? The dog, I could have swore that shit was chemistry.
Nope, it was math. And I got 103%. Bob, what'd you get?
Whoa,
110? There was only one bonus question. That's impossible.
Oh, kissy face. Bob, did you pipe the teacher?
And that's probably why Zuck over here is so uncool. He's minding a million people's businesses, probably looking through their cameras and shit like, yeah, fuck you, Mark. And the most important trait for being cool is having confidence. You just can't be cool while shivering your timbers, bro. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, well, I guess it's over for me then. And no, it's not over for you, bro, because confidence is the most fake it till you make it shit ever. Like, you're not gonna say the perfect thing every time. Lord knows I don't. I'm pretty sure I say the wrong thing every time, but if you say that shit with your chest, people let it slide, bro.
And I said, no, I wouldn't suck your dick for $20.
Oh, well, that makes one of us.
Well, that makes one of us.
Love this guy.
Now, that's the type of confidence that's gonna take you from a level 1 crook to a level 100 mafia boss. And with that power comes responsibility. Some dudes will become a level 100 mafia boss and start picking on other people because it makes them feel powerful. But a cool guy doesn't yearn for power.
He yearns for... fuck. What do you yearn for, bruh?
Damn, he's so cool.
Now, being cool comes along with being calm and collected. Like, if someone walked up to you trying to fight and you started running away screaming for your life, I don't think anyone's looking at you like,
damn, that's one cool-ass motherfucker,
bro. Yeah, bro, the way he hit that high note was cool as hell.
Shit, maybe I could be like him someday.
Now, I'm not saying you gotta go all Jackie Chan on the guy, but you do gotta stay calm and think logically. Like, let's see how cool you are. What would you do in this situation? A, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. B, just walk away. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead. Or D, do the stanky leg. And the correct answer is any of the above, bro, because it's not about what you do, it's about how cool you do it. Except maybe the stanky leg one. I don't think anybody can look cool doing the stanky leg. But doing any of the other options, you could look cool as hell. Like, A, strike first, strike hard. Boom, one punch knockout, that's cold. But if you throw first, miss, eat shit, not cool. B, walking away, you're cool as hell, unfazed. Unless you get jumped from behind and get your ass beat, not cool. C, give him a little kiss on the forehead, assert your dominance. You pretty much just made him your son. But if you miss... well, now you're just kissing a dude, so... yeah. Now, even though being cool is all about how you do things, there's a few things that nobody can look cool doing, like riding a scooter, chasing a bus, taking pictures with an iPad, chasing paper in the wind, using VR, washing a cucumber, waving. You look nerdy as fuck. Eating a cupcake, tripping, getting out of a restaurant booth, pickleball, and literally anything to do with Starbucks. Hi, can I get a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino with two extra pumps of vanilla and the
soy? You're not cool, bro.
What? Now let's take it back to the element of mystery for a second, cause this is the step that will either have people seeing you as a cool ass dude, or they'll just assume you're shy or possibly on the spectrum, bro. Listen, you gotta talk, bro, or else people have nothing to go off of and they'll start filling in the blanks themselves. Whoa, wait, so I gotta talk to be cool? Yo, Chains, what do I say? Whatever the fuck you want, bro.
No, wait, really?
Yeah, bro, the truth is, the key to being cool is being yourself. And I know that shit sounds corny, and it is, but do you think the coolest dudes on earth give a single fuck about what you think? Hell nah! They're way too busy being cool, bro. You gotta be like a peach, man. Some people hate peaches, some people love peaches, but at the end of the day, the peach is gonna be a peach. So here, take these sunglasses, and if you haven't heard it today, you're a cool ass dude, bro. Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn, what do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Oh, let's hear it. Yo,
Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 nick guava ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No,
I probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking,
yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?
And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
"Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?"
"No, I would never."
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now, I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific nut break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me?
Nah, it's nobody.
It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her.
No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit. Here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love.
Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done.
Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle. Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon.
Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"All right, Tessa, in my office right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart and That just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again.
Psst, Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning, you know, it was purple. And...
Oh, that vape. Oh, yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes.
So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.,
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like,
"Can I use that vape for the day?"
And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, "Yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks.
Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay?
No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything.
Damn, how long ago was that, man?
Oh, I'm still grounded.
What? No, you're not.
Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laugh because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens, then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music, and then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open, and we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name.
Period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
"You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops."
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, No. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub.
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jorton's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, "Are you guys trying to watch some TV?" Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos.
Yeah, I could watch something.
So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later,
"Do you see Swiper the Frog?"
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him?
Where?
In the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Swipe.
All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode, and when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit, I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jorton's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually, I make it to Jim Jorton's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course, my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
"You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional to show up late."
"Are you even listening?"
"Yeah, uh-huh."
"What did I say then?"
For sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah. She definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me. Because honestly, nobody else wanted to work there. So I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-thru window, and I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing. But all of a sudden, some guy comes through the drive-thru and tries to kill my vibe.
Sir, hello? Do you have my food?"
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, I just ordered some food back there and I...
"Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's?"
"Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that."
"Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru."
"Okay."
Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining.
"Yo, Chains, chill."
"Wait, what?" Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night, because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee.
A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that.
Whole lot of this.
"Is this the black coffee?"
"What is this, the black coffee?"
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Then I went on my break. "Alright, Chains, what do you want?"
Well, what do you guys have?"
"Bro, you work here."
"Can I get, everything?"
"Oh, everything bagel?"
Nah. Just everything."
Jim Jorton's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break, demolishing a meal for 5. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life.
Wicka wicka.
Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes.
Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off. I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful.
Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high. But for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high. If you want to keep your job.
Wicka wicka.
3 a.m. Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk? Introducing itself in Spanish. I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, ugh, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why? Why?
Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn. Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago. Brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since. For most of my life, I've known how to swim. But by that, I mean, if my life depended on it, I could swim from one place to another. I don't even know if swim is the right word. Like, if you saw me casually enjoying a little swim at the pool, you'd be like, does he need help? Like, is he drowning? I mean, like, I did take swimming lessons, but I quit at level alligator, bro. I never even made it to level 1. With that being said, this incident dates way back to when I was in grade 4. We were going on a field trip, and of course, it's to the pool. But I'm not stressing. I know I safely passed level penguin, so I should be chilling. My whole class and I walk into the entrance of the pool, but before anyone was allowed in the pool, they asked everyone if they knew how to swim. And I thought, we're in grade 4. There is no way somebody still doesn't know how to swim. And just as I presumed, nobody needed a life jacket.
So me and the gang are swimming around, you know, jumping off the diving boards. Fun stuff for a grade 4 field trip. But after about an hour, my friends and I are just chilling in the deep end. And that's when I see a kid in my class named Ben on some floaty things coming in our direction. A little backstory about Ben. For as long as I can remember, this dude has been on my nuts. So when I saw this dude coming in my direction, I assumed he just wanted to say hi or something. But as he made his way towards me, I could tell he was struggling. So I swim over to help him out. Oh, hey, Ben. How are you? This kid jumps off the floaty thing onto me. And this man has the meanest grip on me. Pause. Well, this shit had to be some sort of attempted murder, bro, because he had me in a chokehold and his legs were wrapped around my arms. But they did not prepare me for this shit level alligator. So instantly I start sinking and I hit the bottom of the pool. Keep in mind, Ben is chilling on top of me with his head out of the water this whole time. So I jump off the bottom of the pool just enough to get my head out of the water for a few seconds. Ben, get off me. And when I look up, I see this dude Ben with the straightest face in the world. Like this motherfucker has no clue I'm out here fighting for my life. And he says in the most monotone voice, I can't swim. Oh, hell nah. I'm trying to fight him off me, but keep in mind my arms are tied up. So I gather all the strength out of my skinny ass grade 4 legs and I jump just enough to get my head out of the water again. Lifeguard, help! Oh, you guys, stop playing around in the pool. That's it. I'm fucked. I'm dead. And out of sheer anger, I decide, fuck it. If I'm dying, you're dying with me. I duck as far as I can under the water so both me and Ben can't breathe. But I'm running out of air. I start to get lightheaded. Man, that's crazy. This is really how I die, huh? And just as I had lost hope, my main man, Bob, comes in on some Superman shit, pulls Ben off me, and swims me over to the shallow end. I cough up some water, but eventually I catch my breath. So that's the story of how I almost died. And it's also the story of why I owe my life to Bob.
Listen, bro, in this world, there's levels to clout. You could get yourself some Instagram followers. You could stack up a few bands. You could even be famous, but there's only one spot in life that is superior to the rest. A spot so glorious and sought after that they are idolized like no other.
It's me. I've got the infinite money glitch.
Come on, Jimmy. You know it's me. I need a max win.
Man, shut the fuck up, Drizzy. I'm literally Kanye West.
Nah, but I'm the top G.
All right, look. Oh, bro, let's go band for band then. It's me.
But I'm the fastest kid in my school. Bro, I don't know who decided speed would be the deciding factor for who's the king of the school, but all I'ma say is that motherfucker's the GOAT, bro, because I was the fastest kid in my school. I was clapping everyone in races, I was breaking track records, and I had all the 9-year-old baddies, man. I wish I could still pull like that. Alright, it's just a miscommunication, you know, like when I say 9-year-old baddies, I didn't mean
explain
like-
Explain it to the judge, buddy.
Sick fuck. And because I peaked in elementary school, come with me and we'll take a look back at some of the first years of our lives and maybe some of the best, am I right? Kindergarten. Coming into kindergarten, kids were either excited or terrified as fuck for their first day. I mean, I would be pretty fucking pissed too if I knew this was the beginning of me being locked up every day for 13 years. But kindergarten was funny as hell because these kids had no clue what was right and wrong, so they'd be saying the most outrageous shit for no reason at all, bro. Hey, buddy with the hat, can you pass me the skin color crayon? I mean, at this age, kids were just walking NPCs, and I can't even blame them. I mean, they haven't developed consciousness yet, bro. Like, at this age, recess consisted of catching bugs, playing on the monkey bars, and fucking eating sand. And I've talked about the high school bathrooms and all the wild shit that happens in there, but to be honest, the elementary school bathrooms blow that shit out the water, bro. Cause these kids aren't hitting vape tricks, no. They're hitting toilet trick shots, trying to set some world record for the farthest piss taken from the toilet. And let's just say even Stephen Curry couldn't splash that three-pointer. So essentially, motherfuckers was just pissing on the ground. Like, you need to walk into that bathroom 110% alert, or else the next thing you know, you're getting that R. Kelly treatment.
bro.
And I remember my kindergarten had those green, yellow, and red cards to show how good you were that day, but there was always that one kid with the permanent red. I'm talking the teacher didn't even bother to change his shit the next day, because everyone knows as soon as he walks into class, he's doing some fuck shit. For me, it was this kid we'll call Dennis, because he was a menace, bro. He was always loud, always throwing shit, but besides being a menace, he was also a truth speaker, a fact spitter, for better or for worse, because this little guy had no filter. Okay, Leah, you're up first for our show and tell.
Okay, I brought my favorite painting of mine. This right here, this one's me, and this is my dog, Peanut Butter.
That shit is bad.
Dennis, what did we say about saying the truth out loud?
I mean, not the truth. I'm talking about, like,
he was the only dude I knew who could talk over the quiet coyote. I mean, to this day, if I see one of those things, I just can't talk. I just can't talk over it. I mean, maybe he's gonna eat me. I don't fucking know.
But there was one thing that could shut Dennis up, and one thing only. Boy-girl seating arrangements. Dennis always had so much to say until you put him beside Isabel and Leah, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what are you drawing?
Nothing.
Aw, is that your dog?
Maybe.
Shit, he's just like me for real. Like, to this day, you know?
Oh, shit.
And then we go outside for lunch, and don't get me wrong, eating sand for fun was great and all, but as kids got older, everyone started to play games, some of which consisted of tag, manhunt, soccer, basketball, grounders, red ass, kickball, jump rope, tetherball, and what is possibly the most goated game of all time. Foursquare. This game was legendary, bro, but this shit used to get heated as fuck. I mean, kids were making truces, making whole clans, and that right there was real beef. Like, if you caught the ops lacking at nap time, it was on sight, bro.
Psst, what?
Oh, no, wait. You're a poopy
no.
Ass. But man, crushes were everything in elementary school. Like, if you told anyone you had the smallest crush on a girl, word's getting out fast, and the entire class is gonna be organizing a wedding for tomorrow. But some kids just didn't use their words, like this one girl in my elementary school who most definitely had a crush on me. I mean, once again, I was the fastest kid in my elementary school, so... As I was saying, this girl had a crush on me, but she didn't like using her words, so essentially, she just like... She just beat my ass. I mean, what better way to tell someone you like them? And she must have really liked me, bro, because you could see it when I came home. Like,
oh my god, Chains, what happened?
Oh, well, I think this girl at school likes me.
Oh, yeah, that's great. But why do you have so many bruises?
Well, Mom, I think she really likes me.
No, I think you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And there was also that one kid who went around teaching people swear words just because he could. And of course, when I learned some shiny new words, I'm gonna use them. I mean, I still fucking do. But I remember just talking with my friends, dropping the F-bomb, feeling cool as hell. And then one time, I see this girl hauling ass over to the teacher and whispering in her ear. And I already knew what was going down because this girl was the biggest snitch known to man. Like, unprovoked. It was like a hobby or some shit to her. And her name was Erin. Like, her real name was Erin, spelled E-R-I-N. Yeah, how's it feel to get snitched on, buddy? But getting in trouble in elementary school was tough, because they would act like you were committing war crimes for the smallest things. Like, when I got snitched on for swearing, I was in grade 4. I was a big boy, you know what I'm saying? But my teacher was pissed, bro. Chains, you can never say that word. It's horrendous.
What does horrendous mean?
It's not good, okay?
Aw, shit, my bad.
Chains!
Aw, sorry, it's just stuck in my fucking brain.
Chains, cut it out right now or you get detention.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, motherfucker.
What? And I'm not gonna lie, the most cursed part of elementary school was the talent shows, bro. Because the teachers expect you to be all quiet and serious and shit, but it was literally a real life try not to laugh. Like, how am I supposed to be serious when Jimmy's up there shitting out Minecraft parodies like it's comedy gold? I mean, at my school, it was less of a talent show and more of a come on stage in front of the entire school and do whatever the fuck you want for 10 minutes type of show. And man, that shit was brutal. It was like watching paint dry. But if the paint was 7 years old and standing on a stage in front of the entire school, nervous as hell, shitting his pants. Cause elementary school had some weird kids, bro. Like those kids who used to put glue on their hands to let it dry so they could peel it off. Or the kid who would just straight up eat the glue. Or the weird kid who would secretly take a bite out of every single foam football. Like, how are you that hungry? The kid who only wore shorts through rain and snow. The kid who was mad at everyone for no reason. The kid who wouldn't stop yapping. The kid
kid who always had to flex how strong their dad is. My dad is so much stronger than yours, he can beat up your dad with his pinky finger. He can bench press 625 pounds.
Wait, what even is that?
You don't know what a bench press is?
No. What the fuck is a dad?
The kid who thought he was Albert Einstein. The snitch named Aaron lives at 354 Stickman Way.
The fake snitch.
Bro, you won't believe what I just did.
What'd you do?
I just put my juice box in the recycling. Get this. With the straw inside.
I'm telling the teacher.
Teacher.
Jackson.
Yeah, can I go to the bathroom?
The teacher's pet named Aaron, E-R-I-N, postal code 3310.
And of course, the fastest kid in the school. You know what I'm saying? That was me. I was him. I was the fastest kid in my...
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude. I mean, first dates from dating apps is kind of like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate?
Oh shit, Billy Bob and Chains. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school.
Hi.
What's up?
Hello, Jessica. What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too.
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty ass username like, oh shit, it's MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit. Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy?
It's a girl. Man, shut the fuck up. Oh shit, you're serious?
Wait, so the whole time you're watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know.
And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
Alright, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together. And boom, all of a sudden, we started forming a little friend group. It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki. And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing. But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica. And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a,
so I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So,
and I typed up, do you want to be my girlfriend? I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like, yes, I do. And call me Josh Giddy, the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
hey, Chains, how are you?
Oh, you know, I'm good. how are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Ah. But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah. Fuck, yeah. And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I drop my entire life savings on her ticket and then go into debt for mine. But nonetheless, we head to the theater.
Wait, should we get popcorn?
Oh yeah, of course. Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?
Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
Boom!
What happened? Are you okay?
Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn.
Are you fucking stupid?
Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day.
And we got to our seats and sat down and the movie began.
And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob. And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands. And I look over to Billy and Nikki and they're all cuddled up and shit. Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets. So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird. But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit. And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried. But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm. And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn, which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, because Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way. And sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god, are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying?
But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Everyone has encountered countless NPCs during their lives. Like, you know, the people that just spawned in. They didn't have any character development or anything. And to be honest, when you leave their vicinity, they probably just despawn. If you still have no clue what an NPC is, it's a non-playable character. They're like the type of people you could sock in the face and they'd say some NPC-ass line like, "Hey!" And I know at least some NPCs have to exist. Cause let's be real, there is no way all 7 billion people on this planet have whole lives from start to finish. That just doesn't add up. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but NPCs all have a spot they go to just do NPC things, bro. For example, if you go to Walmart, that's their natural habitat. You are bound to see at least 15 NPCs at Walmart. And usually the NPCs are trying to avoid eye contact. But if you've ever tried interacting with them, you'll know they always have the most predictable and neutral responses possible. Like, whoever programmed them should have spiced it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? They could have made them tell jokes or something, I don't know. But anyways, I used to work at a summer camp where you teach little kids to ride bikes. And through this experience, I realized that pretty much all young kids are NPCs. And I guess it's just because they haven't been alive long enough to actually go through the character development. But working at this summer camp made me realize there's no way these kids have a thought process. Hey buddy, what's wrong?
I dropped my rock.
Here you go. But I guess little kids still aren't even at the stage of having full consciousness. And honestly, they kind of have that caveman mindset.
Eat something.
But I mean, you can't really blame them, because they've only been alive for a few years. But still, as a non-NPC, I'd like to believe I was never participating in these NPC activities as a kid. I refuse to believe I was out here spending my time doing this. But yeah, man, I really just want to know if there's any NPCs watching this right now. If there is, just fess up, bro. Because I don't even know if NPCs be on YouTube, or if they just, like, despawn before they can do that. But regardless if you're an NPC or not, thank you for watching this video. Subscribe.
Listen, I am no criminal. In fact, I would consider myself a good Samaritan. Type of dude who helps grandmas cross the street. Type of dude who might even pick up some trash now and then. And absolutely not the type of dude to go to jail. Now, I know for a fact I would never go to jail. Not because I never break the law, but because I'm fast as fuck. In the streets, they used to call me Usain Jr., bro. So there was no way you would catch me getting arrested by some 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a donut in his hand. I would be out here crossing, bro, up. Hit him with a little body feint, leave him in the ER, bro. But with that being said, I needed that speed. I needed that speed to get out of all the dumbass situations I put myself in. Cause I'm still no valedictorian, but back in grade 9, I was nominated stupidest dumbass, and all the runner-ups were my homies. So evidently we had some stupid ass ideas. Like I remember this one time we were all looking for something to do, and if you're from a small boring city like mine, you would know there's not many fun things to do besides smoke and break the law. So what did we do? We smoked? And then we broke the law. This story takes place at Billy's crib. So it's just me, Billy, and Bob. We're chilling playing PlayStation or whatever. And Billy's like, damn, I'm bored as hell. We should go do something. Yeah, facts. What's something fun we could do? Shit, we could have some girls over. We got no hoes, bruh. Holeless. Shit, I forgot about that. I mean, we could get some food. You got money? You're broke, bitch. Damn, you're right. Wait, we could smoke. You got grass? Yeah, I do actually. Oh shit, bet. So we all go outside, roll up the grass, and get baked. Then we go back inside and hop back on the PlayStation. Damn, I'm low-key still bored. Yeah, let's have some girls. You still have no hoes, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could have a bonfire. Oh shit, that's not a bad idea. Genius. So you think this is a good place? Nah, it's too out in the open. What about here? Nah, it's too close to the school. What about here? Oh shit, this is kinda nice. So we were looking around, we gathered up the best sticks to build the fire, and we set them up quite nicely. We lathered those bad boys in some gasoline, and apparently my high ass didn't know how fire and gas worked. So I leaned over the fire, and when I go to light it, for a second my life flashed before my eyes. So I quickly jumped back, but my friends and I are baked to perfection. So they're like, yo, dude, are you good? Yeah, man, I think so. Are my eyebrows still there? You never had eyebrows. Oh, okay. So we're all just staring at the fire in silence, thinking about random things. Damn, I need me a 4-piece Popeyes combo right now. The meaning of life, it must be to evolve and become the best person you can be. God damn. Bob's mom is so hot. And as we're just chilling, watching the fire, it was pretty much sending out a smoke signal, and anyone in the vicinity probably saw it. And soon we started hearing a siren in the distance. Guys, it's definitely just an ambulance. I mean, it's getting kind of loud, don't you think? No, we're chilling. Fuck, bro, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm way too high for this right now. So Billy and Bob just leave, and I'm thinking, they're just being some scaredy cats. They're gonna come back. It's literally just an ambulance. Right? Man, it's getting kinda close. Oh shit, they're definitely coming for me. And then the siren just stops. Oh, I guess they're not coming for me. And then I look behind me, and I make direct eye contact with two officers. My heart literally stopped. Oh, you're fucked. Hey,
I grabbed the gas and the gas, and with all the adrenaline I had, I literally jumped on the fire, stomped it out, and hauled ass. Hey, get back here! I'm being chased by these two cops, and I am red-handed as fuck. I mean, I'm holding a liter of gasoline, a lighter, and the kush while I'm baked as hell running from these cops. And they were on my ass, bro, because let's be real, I could have outrun these fat asses any day of the week, but I'm at a major disadvantage here. Like, I have to run carrying the can of gas while I'm zooted, bro. So sheer speed was not gonna do it, but I had to get them off my tail, or else I was going to jail. So I take a sharp right, and then I'm faced with these two paths. I hit a quick left, and as soon as I get out of their sight, I slide into these bushes smooth as butter. And I was scared shitless. Man, I can't go to jail. I dropped the soap way too much for all that. Holy shit, they're right there. Where'd he go? We almost had him. And we would have had him too if your fat ass didn't eat so many damn donuts. Shut up, Robert. That's why Dave fucked your wife. As soon as it was clear, I booked it straight to Billy's house. Oh, guys, it wasn't an ambulance. No shit. And I think it's safe to say I was paranoid for the rest of the night. Yo, I really appreciate you guys, so I'm gonna be following back a bunch of people on my Instagram, so go check it out. Peace.
Man, sometimes this world can be a little cold. It can get a little gray, but there is nothing that can bring more excitement and vibrance to your life than having a crush. I mean, it gives you something to wake up for, something to smile for, someone to impress, and someone to be absolutely crushed by. Leaving you more depressed than ever before. Which is when you get a new crush. I mean, crushes make the world go around. Everyone's had a crush at some point in time. And sometimes that shit gets too serious. I mean, I've had homies prepared to throw away their entire lives just to impress their crush, bro. Oh my god, look at these big weights. I wonder if anyone's strong enough to lift these. Oh my god, look at this big jump. I wonder if anyone's athletic enough to make... Oh my god, look how creepy this cave is. I wonder if anyone's brave enough. Oh my god, look how tall this building is. I wonder if anyone could stick the landing. I said, I wonder if anyone could stick the land. Oh, ew, did he just die? Oh my god, I'm getting the ick.
Nope, just getting a few extra reps in.
Man, I remember my first crush like it was yesterday, bro. She was 5 years old. But I was 5 years old too, right? Like, so it wasn't actually yesterday, you know, it's a saying, but we were both 5 years old, and I remember sliding in smooth as hell.
Yo, shorty. You like Legos?
Yeah.
How about you and me go Lego my ego?
What does that even mean?
Shit, I don't even know. I seen it in a commercial once.
And after that day, me and Rose hung out all the time. We'd be playing Legos, we'd link up at recess, and I couldn't help but let her know how I truly felt.
Hey, Rose, I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
And that shit had me thinking, damn, this life shit is easy as hell. I'm barely 5 years old and I already got a wife to raise my kids.
Little did my dumbass know, life wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Cause when I came to class the next day, I saw Rose playing Lego with another dude.
And that was the day I realized crushes cause nothing but pain.
Especially before high school, cause let's just think about the three possible outcomes. One, you have a crush on this girl and you decide to tell her, cause
what's the worst that could happen, man?
You guys are right. Stacy? Yeah, I have a crush on you.
Or two, you never build up the courage to tell her and end up watching your crush sit in a tree with the faster kid who had the light up Skechers and the Charizard EX.
And we all know what happens when Stacy and Jimmy are sitting in a tree.
Or outcome three, you confess to your crush and it's the perfect scenario.
I like you too.
Now you've officially started your first middle school relationship, which is probably the worst outcome of all, bro. Cause now you've been sentenced to 14 days of relentless cringe and countless awkward scenarios. And I say 14 days because that shit's lasting 14 days max, bro.
Hey Stacy, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, huh. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Woohoo.
So do you want to like hold hands or something?
Yeah, sure.
So, Stacy, I've been thinking. I don't think this whole thing's gonna work out.
Oh, okay.
It's not me. It's you.
Oh. Wait, what?
Yo, fuck my ass. Or what's even more tough than having a crush in middle school is having a crush on a fictional character, bruh. Cause it's like, you'll just be chilling, watching some Teen Titans eating cereal or whatever. All of a sudden your crush is kissing other dudes right in front of you and you can't even do shit about it. I remember back in my day, I was down horrendous for Lola Bunny, bruh. And I really don't know how I feel about admitting my attraction towards a 2D cartoon bunny, but you gotta remember, this was in the past. Like, this was at least 2 months ago. And maybe I'm tweaking on this one, but the red fish from Shark Tale, bruh, she was different, bro. And her name, I think it was Lola as well. Shit, maybe I just like cartoon girls named Lola or something.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
And I don't know about you, but for some reason, whenever I would talk to my crush, it was like I got an instant nerf, bro. I'm talking minus 10 charisma, plus 15 stutter, minus 5 strength, and plus 350% chance of getting put in a random ass headlock. Like, I could be in the worst scenario of all time with a girl who has 5 kids and is married to a member of the cartel. And just cause she's not my type, I'll get an instant stat boost that'll have me pulling like Mr. Duke Dennis himself. But put me in a room with my crush and all of a sudden I got the same charisma as fucking McLovin.
Hi.
Hey, it's 10:33.
What?
AM. Like in the morning. Like I'm saying, it's 10:33 in the morning. Fuck. And on top of your crush turning you into McLovin, it also leaves you open to the inevitable pain of being embarrassed in front of your crush. And man, let me tell you, there is nothing quite like it. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I was in grade 2 wearing my favorite bright blue basketball shorts in math class, gazing out the window at those shiny old monkey bars, excited for recess. And when the bell rang, I hauled my little ass over to those bars and I was swinging like there was no tomorrow. And before I knew it, the whole class was on these monkey bars, which quickly turned into chicken fights, and I wasn't complaining. I mean, hanging from a bar and kicking the living shit out of some toddlers? Sign me up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in line watching these grade 2 gladiator battles go down until it was my turn, and when I step up to those bars, I look into the crowd and see my crush of 2 weeks, Lexi. And now that Lexi was watching, there was no chance I was about to lose this fight in front of her. But as I look over to see who my opponent is, I realize it's Axel. And Axel was known for being the undisputed chicken fight champion. Legend had it, he once took on 3 dudes at once, pause. So I knew going into this, I had to lock the fuck in, bro. So we climb over to each other and he's kicking my shit in off rip until I hit his ass with my specialty move, the Python squeeze. And in 10 seconds flat, let's just say I folded that motherfucker's clothes with him still in him, and everyone was hyping me up because I just did the exact equivalent of dunking on Michael Jordan in his prime with Beyonce watching. So of course Axel's pissed. Hey Chains, you, me, rematch, now! Ooh. And I look over at Lexi, and she looks over at me, and now I can't back down. So we get back in position, climb over to each other, and I go for the Python squeeze again, and this motherfucker Axel just winds up and kicks me in the balls. And I'm not gonna lie, that hefty kick to the dick accessories was the worst pain I had ever felt in my 7-year-old life. But I couldn't just drop and lose to Axel in front of Lexi, so with all the pain and anger I feel radiating from my nuts, I hit Axel with the meanest 20-piece combo in chicken fight history, and he drops. And then he pants to my shit, bro. And embarrassed, I drop and try to run away, but the shorts around my ankles trip me, and I faceplant. Face down, tighty whities up, balls in shambles in front of everyone, including Lexi. And some people like to say, oh, it could always be worse, but this time, I don't know, man. So the moral of the story is, man, fuck Axel, bro. April 20th.
420, the day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but god damn, these motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking deep fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things, and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato, I would have been a baked potato. So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid, because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right? But I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses, and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the memo this bad? But luckily for me, there's hundreds of dudes selling overpriced random ass shit. So it really didn't take long for me to find a dude selling sunglasses. And even though it was 25 bones for these shitty ass sunglasses, I still cop them so I can hide my identity. And of course, the glasses have the devil's lettuce plastered all over them, but I'm El Chapo level wanted at this point. So I'm doing anything I can to hide my identity, including dropping my life savings on these dog shit glasses. So I'm out here pushing through these groups of people, but I'm keeping it low key. And as I'm scanning to the right of me and to the left of me, my dumbass pretty much walks right up to a cop. And the moment I realized that homie was right in front of me looking at me, I started to panic, bro. I felt like at this point, my best option was just to confess. Like, if I take the plea deal, I'll definitely get a lower sentence. But as I was stressing heavy, that adrenaline starts to kick in. And I know some of y'all can relate to this, but the scientific breakdown shows that when you're zooted and you get into a high stress scenario, the adrenaline gears up and starts beefing with the THC in your brain. Now, if you're lucky, the adrenaline will beat the THC's ass and will have you thinking properly in said stressful situation, which is exactly what happened to your boy. So as I transformed from a baked potato into a less baked potato, this is where the table really started to turn. I looked at this cop in the eyes and this motherfucker was more baked than me. Like, shit, at this point, I'm about to put this dude on citizen's arrest.
Officer, are you baked right now?
No, there's a... Sorry, There seems to be a lot of cannabis in the air right now, and so it's like...
This poor officer probably had to pull an 8-hour shift in the world's biggest hotbox while trying to do his job. And needless to say, after realizing the officers were fated than a hoe, I had no problem walking around with my peach fuzz mustache smoking on that Mary Jane. As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
Yabba-dabba-doo. The world is ending, and you're going to die a painful and lonely death, buddy.
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro. The bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn.
Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame them, 'cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time, 'cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop, then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. 'Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass.
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jorton's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, "Are you guys trying to watch some TV?" Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos.
Yeah, I could watch something.
So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later,
do you see Swiper the frog?
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him?
Where?
What, in the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you.
Right behind.
Yes.
Swiper, no.
Swipe.
Oh, hell no.
All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode. And when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit. I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. Psych! I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jordan's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually I make it to Jim Jordan's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional to show up late.
Are you even listening?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What did I say then?
For sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me. Because honestly, nobody else wanted to work there. So I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-thru window. And I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing. But all of a sudden, some guy comes through the drive-thru and tries to kill my vibe.
Sir, hello? Do you have my food?
What do you want?
Well, I just ordered some food back there and I...
Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that.
Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru.
Okay.
Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining. Yo, Chains, chill.
Wait, what?
Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night. Because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee.
A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that.
Whole lot of this.
Is this the black coffee?
What is this, the black coffee?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Then I went on my break. Alright, Chains, what do you want?
Well, what do you guys have?
Bro, you work here.
Can I get, everything?
Oh, everything bagel?
Nah. Just everything.
Jim Jordan's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break demolishing a meal for five. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life.
Wicka wicka.
Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes. Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off.
I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful. Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high. But for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high if you want to keep your job.
Wicka wicka.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens. Then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music. And then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open. And we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson.
I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name, period."
And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked.
And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
"You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops."
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency? "Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago."
"Okay, sir, did they break in?"
"No, my daughter gave them the key."
"Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub."
But like I said, I wasn't very smart and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. "Hey mom, so I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub."
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
Space isn't empty. It contains everything that exists. "Hey bro, you think this mirror's good?" "Nah, it's in used condition."
What do you mean? Walmart doesn't sell used mirror.
Oh,
we're using it right now.
Damn, I've been hitting this joint for way too long. I should probably pass it to the next person. "You ever thought about how most of the sky is actually below our feet?"
"No, it's right up there."
"Holy shit.
Okay guys, I'm gonna be your waiter for tonight. Just give me a second and I'll be right with you guys."
"We are the waiters."
"Bro, what are you talking about?"
No, think about it. If we're waiting for the waiter, then we are the waiters.
"Hey, nice belly button, bro."
"Hey, thanks, man."
"Your belly button is really your old mouth, by the way."
"What the fuck?"
"Yo, is your thumb even a finger?"
"Fuck, man, I don't even know. It's kind of just a thumb."
"So if your thumb isn't a finger, then there is no middle finger."
"Hold up. If you were the first person in the world to break 2 world records, then that would be a world record.
So you'd be the first person to break 3 world records.
But then that would make it 4 world records.
And that would make it 5 world records.
Holy shit, then it would be 6 world records."
"Man, who the fuck named this shit a chair? Like, why a chair?"
"Hey bro, I got you a milkshake."
"Oh, thank you, man."
"Does a straw have one hole or 2?
"Obviously it's 2.
"No, but what if it's just like one long hole?" "What's the point of life?"
If you get a bigger bed, you have more bedroom, but you have less bedroom, you know, like bedroom, like.
"Can I get a ice cream cone?"
No, fuck you, the ice cream machine's broken."
"Man, that's not fair."
"Well, life isn't fair, buddy, so what do you want?"
"But if life isn't fair to everyone, then isn't life just kind of fair?"
Like, I just don't get it. Like, chair, why is it a chair? You know, it could have been like anything.
"So your nose grows every time you cap."
"Yeah, what about it?"
So what if you just said your nose is going to grow?
"Well, that would be a lie, so then it would grow."
"Try it.
My nose is going to grow."
"Yeah, I told you. But now that it grew, it's not a lie."
"Whoa.
Bro,
I'm way too baked right now. Here, eat an orange. It helps. Nah, hold up. Are oranges named oranges because they're orange? Or is orange called orange because oranges are orange? Just eat the fucking orange.
Boys, we got the pizza.
Let's
yes,
go.
Sir.
Why the fuck is the pizza box square? Like, if the pizza is circle and a slice is a triangle. Yo, who the fuck invited this kid? Yo, can you pass the lighter really quick? Yeah, I got you. Wait. When you light your lighter gets lighter until your lighter is so light that your lighter won't light.
Damn, that motherfucker's spitting right now.
It just seems weird. Like, why the fuck is it a chair?
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now, this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds. We're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoked our grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating?
No,
but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick-or-treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like... Ah!
360 Ooga Booga Booga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in.
Lock it. And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30 year old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
"Damn. What do I look like as a grown-ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?"
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean, shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden, business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
"Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words."
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now, the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
I probably should not have taken a hit.
But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking,
"Yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?"
And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way
back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
"Is Tessa here?"
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie, Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?
Psst, no, I would never.
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally. Weird ass school, man. But this specific Nut Break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind. Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me?
Nah, it's nobody.
It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What?
Tessa?
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, shit, go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her?
No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends, so just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just gonna do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I
did I just sell that shit?
Yep. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit, here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro.
Okay, simple. Let's practice.
Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done. Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro.
Alright, I'm ready.
You got this. Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
not
jiggle.
Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
"Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now."
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3-degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, "Psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it, and he's not gonna check you."
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's. Don't worry, it's safe with me. And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had Nut Break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. "Psst, Tessa wants her vape back."
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning? You know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh,
Yeah, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out, and she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, the one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
"Bro, no fucking way."
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, "Can I use that vape for the day?" And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
"Yeah, sure."
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
"Yo, you still got the vape?"
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
If you saw this video, you would know my very first time drinking, I got both high and drunk at the same time. But my first time being drunk takes place back when I was like 14 or 15. And this story takes place at my grandma's crib. No, listen, I know that sounds bad, but like, it's pretty bad. So the story starts with me and my brother pulling up to the family function. And right off the bat, we notice the chill cousins are nowhere to be seen. So instantly, we can tell it's gonna be a long night of engaging in conversations about school, sports, my lack of ability to pull bitches. And about 5 minutes after arriving, you know, I'm just doing some good old small talk. "Oh, hey bud, how's school going?" "Oh, you know, it's going."
"And how's sports going?"
"Yeah, the sports are good."
"Nice."
"So the weather lately, huh?" And then after about 20 minutes, me and my brother are just getting our shit flamed by every member of the family.
"No wonder you can't get a girlfriend. You're ugly as shit."
Damn, that was just mean.
"And don't get me started on you. You had a 3-year head start and still can't get any bitches."
And honestly, we just can't say anything back because last time I tried.
"Man, still no girlfriend. That's brutal."
"Not as brutal as your third divorce, am I right?" Okay, guys. So instead of flaming the living shit out of this grown man in front of his mom, I decide to be the bigger man. I just laughed that shit off. And then got the fuck out of there before they brought up my school grades. So as my brother and I sit down in a different room, I'm just in agony thinking about how everything this dude flamed me for was actually true. But my brother, on the other hand, he was whipping up some devious plan. "Yo, Chains, follow me."
"Oh, okay."
So we walk down to the basement. "So, what are we doing in the basement?" He opens a cupboard full of alcohol. Bro just cracks the seal on some vodka and starts downing that shit. Now, usually I would know this is a bad idea, but to be honest, I just got done getting my entire existence shit on by my own family. So I'm really just trying to drink my pain away at this point. I mean, we were passing that bottle drinking like rent was due and the wife was taking the kids. So with that being said, we got a little hammered. And keep in mind, this was my first time being drunk. So as soon as I stood up, I ate shit. It was like I had to relearn the controls of life. But we had to get out of the basement or else we'd look suspicious. So our drunk asses plug walked our way up the stairs. But we were trying to act as casual as possible. So we sit back down with the rest of the family like we didn't just down a bottle of vodka. And me and my bro were just sitting there looking at each other trying not to laugh. But the next thing I knew, this dude Uncle Jerry was back on my ass.
Hey look, Dumb and Dumber are back.
And at this point, I'm using every bone in my body not to end this man's whole career.
Man, whose gene is it that made you so damn hideous?
Don't do it, bro. Don't do it, bro. And I really didn't want to do him like that, but the vodka took control. It was your hideous gene, Gerald. But at least I didn't get the same gene that has you 5'2 and balding. Like, I can't tell if you're going through puberty or a midlife crisis. And shit, I didn't stop there. And Joe, I want to hear you talking. You're built like Baymax from Big Hero 6.
What the fuck is Big Hero 6?
Mom, I love you. Karen, sit down. Your mac and cheese tastes like ass. And Bob, you're literally a registered sex offender. Grandma, I love you. Bernard, your hairline looks like it's social distancing from your eyebrows. And Irene, how are you 47 and still work at McDonald's? And you got no drip. Come on, bro. Friendly fire. Oh, shit. You're right. My bad. Needless to say, I was handing out smoke to everybody. Something in that vodka turned me to a demon. And I guess since everyone was mad at me for dissing the entire family, they never knew I was drunk as hell. But in the end, I did feel really bad for roasting my entire family tree. But ever since that day, everybody stopped flaming me. So, it was worth it. It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like, yo, Randall. Yo, what's up, cuh? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh, shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch.
Yes, sir.
Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes. You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, cuh.
Why not?
Well, you see, cuh, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, cuh.
Aw, shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that.
Cuh, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up.
Say less. Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like, what? Where the fuck did the whip go?
It should be right here.
Oh, fuck. I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks, possible hypothermia, and no end in sight.
Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro.
Chains, just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want.
Shit, you're right. We can't stop now.
So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it.
We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside, and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall seshes us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes, oh shit, it's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas. Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you jits go, cut, take some for the road.
Thank you, bro. So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro. Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch
ass
up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Yo, just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh, my fucking God. And then I fucking died. Maybe that mean green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG.
Damn, light bulbs were such a good idea that they became the symbol for good ideas. God damn, I just spilled my water. Why does water make clothes darker? If water is clear, what the fuck?
Yo, there's two guys coming.
On me. Oh, I clapped his ass. Yo, Billy. Yeah, what's up? You see that lamp right there? Yeah. What about it? That lamp, in the video game, uses real life electricity.
Whoa.
You know what I just realized? When a morgue worker dies, he still goes into work the next day. Bro, how could he go to work? He's dead. Oh, shit. Oh, whoops. Just dropped the soap. Wait. When you drop the soap, does the soap get dirty or does the floor get clean?
Wait, guys.
Since I'm alone, I'm the only person in the world to ever see this peanut.
Nah, I saw it too.
Who the fuck are you? Yo, when did you get so much money? Man, it's the money my grandma inherited me before she died. Yo, that's low-key like when your homie dies in Fortnite and you pick up his loot. Come on, bro, my grandma's dead. Not cool. You right, my bad. Man, imagine the guy that discovered milk. And think about him convincing someone else to drink it. You did what to the cow? No, trust me, it's good, just drink it. Wait, you drink it too? Yeah, it's really good, look. Aw, oh, hell nah. Damn, bro, mosquitoes are some brave creatures, considering those jits got 1 HP.
Facts.
Yo, Chains, you need your parachute to skydive.
No, you don't.
You just need a parachute to skydive twice.
No, Chains!
Well, what the fuck? Why did you just break my mirror? Well, actually, mirrors don't break. They simply multiply. Oh. just some walking nut for real. Facts.
Damn, for real.
It's crazy.
It's true though.
Oh shit, oh shit, I'm on fire.
If you really think about it, you're not on fire. Fire is on you.
Call the fire truck.
Wait